Welcome to season two of I Totally Paused, where we're deep diving into your favorite heartthrobs and it girls from the 90s and the early 2000s. I'm Jess.
I'm Siobhan.
And you are listening to what will likely be the first of many episodes that we are recording in quarantine.
Yeah, well, this isn't like so unfamiliar from the way we really record it, like in our houses by ourselves.
Yeah, it's true. Although we had kind of gotten into like a groove of recording in person together and, you know, it had been nice, but
it is nice.
Now it's not an option. So, you know, we know this is a strange and a scary time for everyone, but we're hoping we can use this time to put together some content that will take your minds off things and like take you back to a simpler time.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I wish I had as much time. I feel like I'm working more than ever.
Sounds like you're working more than ever.
Yeah. Like my job is deemed like one of those, like without getting into what my job is, it's deemed like one of those essential businesses. And I'm not like a doctor saving lives or anything like that. Don't think that. But like I have to stay open and it just happens to be busier than normal. And I don't know. It might die off though, because I got a little concerned because they didn't want us basically like going above and beyond with our jobs and being like, just do what you need to do. Like, don't go spending more than you have to spend is basically. So
meanwhile, I went from having literally no time at all to having almost nothing to do because, as I think you guys know, I own a drama enrichment program that runs mostly out of schools and all the schools are closed right now. So I'm still homeschooling my own kids and we're launching online classes starting next week, but things are like much quieter for me than they normally are.
Yeah. The other day, Jessica was texting me all about Anchor and like all the stuff I can do for our podcast. And I was just like, cool. Okay, cool.
It's fine. I got it. I'm doing it. I'm setting it up. So we have on Anchor with us today, friend of the pod, Riley from Snapback to Reality.
Woo!
Riley.
Hi, thank you guys for having me back.
I know, thank you for coming back.
We are here to go all the way back to the mid-90s to talk about, in my opinion, one of the most iconic duos in 90s pop culture.
Sibling duos, yes.
Sibling duos, yeah. We are here to talk about the Carter Brothers today.
And this was chosen by Riley.
Yeah, I had a really hard time coming up with something. I was just trying to think about like what would be relevant to you and to me, because we do have like that age gap. So like we don't have the exact same experiences of the 90s and the 2000s. And then it just hit me because I feel like everyone in some way had some kind of like experience with either Nick or Aaron Carter or both.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. When I saw the Backstreet Boys in concert, I guess maybe in like seventh or eighth grade, little Aaron Carter was the opening act.
I was also at that concert, Jessica. How soon you forget. We didn't go together, but
We didn't go together.
Together. And I do remember coming in, and I came in as Aaron Carter was on stage. I was like, I was like, who's that little kid?
And he was so cute. Yeah, he was adorable. He was like an adorable little peanut.
So you guys are like OGs.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Backstreet Boys was my first major concert, actually.
I don't know if they were mine. I don't think. No, they weren't.
Musical family.
Yeah, I'm from a musical family. And as I think I've mentioned on the pod before, my random childhood obsession, I still love her, if I'm honest, was Reba McEntire. So I went to my first Reba McEntire concert when I was in like third or fourth grade. That would have been my first big concert.
And my mom was not taking me to Madonna concerts in third grade. No, ma'am.
No. No. But that's why it's, you know, we're going to get it. We've talked about Aaron Carter on this podcast before.
I was going to say.
Boy band con.
Yes.
And it's so sad because I can so clearly remember him as this like adorable little baby.
It is really sad. And that's what I was thinking. We already kind of went through this when we did the boy band con documentary. So it's kind of cool to like go a little bit further into like two of the people that this kind of involved.
Yeah. We didn't talk much about Nick. When we talked about the boy band con, because he wasn't in it.
Oh, that's true. Yes. We were just so shooketh by young.
We were just deeply concerned about our little Aaron.
Didn't we almost title that episode something about Aaron Carter?
About like save Aaron Carter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God. Someone please save Aaron Carter.
Please. Yeah. There's still time. We could still save him.
There's like
something about him.
My curse is I always pick the darkest subjects of always everything.
Oh, I love some dark subjects.
I do too, but I feel like not everyone wants to go that deep and that dark. But just like with Aaron Carter, it was such a cute, sweet little kid, and then you know he became such an asshole jerk, and then he became what he is now, and it's just so
sad. And now
sad.
It's just sad because he seems like he's. That's what I was like just gonna say. Like more than Nick, I feel like it seems like Aaron is like not necessarily at his core like a bad person,
mm-hmm. right?
I feel like Aaron Carter like could have been okay like under different
circumstances. And let's get back like take it back to the beginning, and I really do think like their parents, especially their mother, had to have done a number on these kids, all of them. From watching House of Carters, because I watched multiple episodes to get ready for this, they obviously did a lot of damage to these kids. And like Nick multiple times says, you guys don't know what she did to me. You guys don't even know. Like, I don't even want to tell you. And I feel like there's a lot of really dark undertones when he says that, and his mom being his manager and him being like a really young man. Like,
what do you think she did? You can say it.
You know, there's like the rumors about Lou, and then like Aaron would always get very, remember that was the thing in the documentary. Aaron was very.
Yeah, we're 100% certain that Lou Pearlman molested young Aaron.
And there was 100%. Also the rumors about like that Lou would tell the, remember LFO about how the reason they Backstreet Boys like blew up over in Europe was that like Nick was doing sexual favors. Basically for members.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, which who knows if that was true or not, because that was also, they figured it was might have been a lie just to get Lou to talk about like sexual things with the guys. So it's all like obviously alleged, and who knows what happened. But
knowing Hollywood, knowing how these executives are.
Especially, and Nick was a very handsome, you know, still a great looking guy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he's so like all American looking.
He is very much so.
I feel like I have to say, I actually put in my notes to like make sure that I say this, I feel like I'm gonna get into like the many ways that Nick Carter is like a mess, and I'm gonna have some like not so nice things to say about Nick Carter, but I do have to say that I have met Nick Carter. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Well, why don't you tell the story since it's very
topical now. So I have a friend from college who is like obsessed with the Backstreet Boys. So when the Backstreet Boys, I don't know, this was maybe 2005, they were on the Today Show, and my dad works on the Today Show. And so I was like, you know what, my friend Lisa, I was like, I'm going to make this happen for Lisa. Like I'm going to get my dad to take us. So my dad brought us like up to New York.
Now this is when they would have, just let me interject, this is when it would have been Never Gone, which was their comeback album in 2005. That's after they had taken like a hiatus.
Yeah. So this was like, if you can picture like the summer concert series at the Today Show, it's like outside on the plaza. It's completely packed. Like we get there in like the wee hours of the morning, because that's when my dad has to get to work. But they're like already, it's already absolutely packed with girls who have been out there like for days, apparently, like waiting to see the Backstreet Boys. And so we got, you know, we get like taken into like the front like area because we're with my dad. And the Backstreet Boys came out, and before their performance, they like went through the crowd. They spent forever like taking pictures with people, like talking to people, like really spending time. And so I'm like standing in the front with my friend Lisa, and Nick Carter came over to us, and I will always remember he was wearing a t-shirt that said, I like girls who like girls.
He's an ally, Nick. I mean,
yeah, okay, sure.
We stand.
So that was a little bit of a yikes, but he, you know, he was very friendly. He took a picture with us. He was very sweet. He like went through and like did the whole thing. While they were performing, it started to rain, and they had like, there was like a canopy thing like over the stage, and they had it moved out over top of like the audience, which obviously it didn't cover like the whole crowd, but it covered like the front. And they performed in the rain because they wanted like as many people as possible who were like waiting out there to see them to be like covered, which was really nice. And then at the end of the show, we were waiting in the hallway for my dad so we could leave. And the Backstreet Boys came through with their security, and there were like some people, you know, waiting to like see them and take pictures and stuff. And the security came through, and we're kind of like, you know, they can't stop, they can't talk. And I don't know if I think I've said this before, I found when I go to work with my dad, sometimes that like famous people are extra friendly to me and whoever I'm with, because they're not sure who we are and why we're allowed to be there. So were like standing by the door waiting for my dad, and the Backstreet Boys came out, and I don't know if it was like that or if he like, I mean, he met a lot of people. I don't know why he would remember that he had met us earlier, but Nick Carter came right over to us again and gave us like big hugs and was like, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for standing in the rain. We really appreciate it. And then he was like on his way, and the other people who were waiting were like, do you know him? And we were like, well, yeah, it's Nick Carter. Everyone knows him. Aww, like, I like that, but he was, I have to say, as much as I will probably tear him about over the course of the next like hour or however long we talk about this, I met Nick Carter twice in one day and he was there lovely. You go. He really was.
I'm really interested to see what your thoughts are, because I have such a like positive view of Nick, but I'm very open to having my mind changed, because I'm like that person who just like went through life and was like very like surface level, like believe the tabloids. And I'm like, yeah, everyone's great. Like I believed all the publicity stunts. And then like, I need my mind open to the darker underbelly of things. So
he just like Aaron, it's not even like, I guess necessarily that he's like a bad, I think he's like a little bit more of a douchebag than Aaron Carter. Like, really? Honestly, but not necessarily.
No.
Come
on. I was going to say, do you watch a lot of House of Carters? Because I don't think you'd say that if you watched a lot of it.
Nick, right? Just trying to hold a family together.
I know. He just wants the best for his siblings.
Yeah. I probably watched about half
a chunk of his audiobook and it was a mess.
Okay, I can't wait for your thoughts on that.
But yeah, I watched about half the season.
I didn't listen to all of it, but a chunk of it.
So I thought he did okay.
Oh, I got through like half an episode and I was like,
they
left
out a lot of context. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on that they just like did not include in the episode. So it was really hard to watch.
Oh, we'll have to, we'll get into that, because I was like, oh, I want to talk to Riley about like this early like style of reality show, like filming. But so back in the beginning, Nick Carter was born in Jamestown, New York. His mom, Jane, his dad, Robert, and he has four other siblings, including Aaron. And it's his sister, BJ, Angel, and Leslie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is it Leslie and Aaron are the twins, I believe?
Aaron and Angel.
Yes, that makes sense. Okay, so apparently this all got started when, like, Nick was outside playing and his mom heard him singing, and she decided to, like, enroll him in, like, tap and dance lessons, and he started doing various commercials, like, around town, and eventually they moved down to Tampa Bay, Florida, and he started even doing more commercials for Florida State.
Did they move to Tampa so Nick could be a star, or did they move to Tampa for some other reason? I need to know.
I would not be shocked. I actually didn't look into it because it seemed like his career kicked up a lot when he went to Florida.
Because that's not even Orlando, which, as we know, Dave Holmes told us, is like L.A.
Right. Well, maybe they were struggling, so they had to go outside Orlando.
Go to Tampa.
So they had to settle for Tampa.
Because I don't think Tampa – well, I don't know much about Florida, so I don't know if they're close by or not.
Tampa and Orlando are like –
they're like 2 hours apart.
Half, 2 hours.
Yeah, that's drivable in a day. Yes.
I know this because I once went to visit my uncle who lives in St. Pete, which is like just outside of Tampa, but I forced my family to fly into Orlando so we could go to Disney, and then we drove to the Tampa area.
So he was like a self-described weird kid, and I guess like one of the highlights of his young career is that when he first came to his new school in Florida, he was the title character in Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. And
he
got I saw that too.
What?
It said it was his fourth grade production.
Oh, yeah. Like, so it was probably, like, you know, at the school. But it got a standing ovation.
Fourth grade is doing
I don't know that the royalties for Phantom of the Opera have ever been available.
That's what this says. I mean, would Wikipedia lie to me?
I really wanted to see the source on that because, yeah, I was like, but what fourth grade is Phantom of the Opera? We did the Three Billy Goats Gruff.
Unless it's, like... Remember a few years ago, there were a bunch of schools that got in trouble for doing, like, unauthorized productions of Hamilton?
No, but that sounds like something would happen.
Yeah, it was, like, a thing. And you can't do that. You're not allowed to, like, steal pieces of theater. Like, you have to buy the royalties. They have to be, like, made available, and then you buy them, and they're expensive. And a couple years ago, when Hamilton was, like, huge, a bunch of schools were trying to, like, low-key do Hamilton, and you can't do that. So maybe Nick had a teacher in fourth grade who decided to, like... off the radar.
Yeah,
well, this elementary school, though, who would want to watch elementary schoolers do Phantom of the Opera?
Well, his next credit we know is real because it exists. It's in Edward Scissorhands. He's in the little neighborhood as they're going down the street, and he's going down a water slide. or slip and slide.
I didn't know that. I just watched that movie.
Well, he goes, it would be too far to say I was actually in Edward Scissorhands because I was so far in the background, you can't tell it's me. It would better be say I was on the set of the film. But, and then he was also in his own little group called Nick and the Angels.
Cute.
And he was like doing like various like popular songs covers, like Uptown Girl and Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
I wonder if Angel was in it.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining him like everybody always dressed in all white. And they have like little wings and halos on. Oh, and so during the time that he was going to auditions is when he met AJ and Howie, his future bandmates. And I believe they also were the ones who kind of knew about Lou and brought him into that, too.
And he's, like, the youngest by, like, right. A good amount, right?
I don't have their ages, but I forget. And so then when it became time, I didn't realize this. Apparently, he interviewed or he auditioned for Mickey Mouse Club at the same time as the Backstreet Boys, and he had to pick just, like, which one he wanted to do.
I wonder what it would have been like if he had chosen Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And we all know which one he picked.
Maybe he would have
ended up in Aaron Carter.
What would have happened to Justin Timberlake if Nick was the Justin Timberlake of Mickey Mouse?
Can you imagine like a bizarro world where we have no Justin Timberlake?
God bless. And Nick Carter because is, like, the biggest honestly, pop star in the world. I don't think that Nick would rip Janet Jackson's like off and then let her take the fall. He might. You said he's a douchebag. He might, but.
That's true. We don't actually know that. We haven't gotten our...
Something, a pattern I've noticed when, like, ever Nick gets in trouble, it seems like he has a really difficult time, like, taking responsibility for his mistakes. There's, like, always that's a million excuses.
Yeah. Get in my car. That's, like, one of my favorite songs. So, the album that was like eventually released in the United States is actually a hybrid of their international albums. Because in 1996 they did a self-titled album and then they did a second album called Backstreet's Back. So I learned some new things about the Backstreet Boys that I didn't know. So I did know because I remember how they were really big over in Europe before they were big over here in America. Like, especially in Germany. That was, like, one of the countries that they're really...
Like, the Beatles.
Oh, my God. They were huge. Like, huge crowds. And in the United States, like, nobody knew who they were.
Germany's weird that way, right? Isn't, like, what's his name from Baywatch?
David Hasselhoff? Yes.
Yes. Germany does have their stars, don't they?
In 1997. Right. And the day after that was released in the United States, what we know as their first album was released and it has a combination of both albums and the songs there. And
what was their first big single? Big single.
Quit
Playing Games With My Heart.
And so those three albums, the US album, it sold 14 million copies and all total, like all three of those albums sold 28 million copies worldwide. Pretty crazy for like this boy band who was really just popular over and really came from nothing, like no big stars. They were just like a manufactured boy band.
Yeah, take a pause right here and go get some
but to like recap, it's basically they believe the company stole like $10 million and meanwhile the guys just got like $300,000 for like but in the next year 1998 is when the lawsuit happened against Lou Pearlman, which if you want to learn more about that you should just go and listen to our Boy Band Con episode. 4 years of work, like hard backbreaking work. Millennium was their next album in the United States and it was released May 18th, 1999. And on the same day, they did a highly publicized appearance on TRL, which is on YouTube. And I watched it and it brought back so many memories.
Millennium. That was I remember owning.
Oh, Millennium?
Yep, and I remember just taking out the little like CD insert and opening it and just staring at Nick's face because I thought he was so cute.
I bet there was a poster in the middle, like when you opened up the thing. I bet.
Mm-hmm. I remember there was like merch on the back, and there was like, I remember really wanting the Backstreet Boys tank top.
Oh, you'd like, be
the little baseball cut tank top. If I had that now.
Oh my God, middle school, you'd be the coolest girl.
Nick was the cutest, I feel like, by like.
I really like Brian. Brian didn't, you know, I thought he was
It was, I feel like if it wasn't it Nick was for you, it was right. Brian. It was, and everyone else was like way
Brian behind. Had friend energy though.
Friend energy? He was friend zone. He was a friend zone. Had all those car issues, so you felt bad. A grown man. I just remembered, I remember today that I got the first Backstreet Boys album in my Easter basket.
Aww.
I was very pumped, which is like, it's almost Easter time now. So I was like, oh, this is so props.
Oh, timely.
So, and then Millennium, I didn't realize this, it became the best-selling album of 1999. It really? Sold 1.1 million copies in its first week and eventually sold 13 million albums.
I feel like there's a lot of good music that came out of 1999.
Hold on. That I'm Googling real quick the top albums of 1999. I want to know what it was.
As of January 2013, which that's a while ago, it's standed as the fourth best-selling album in the in the United States. But that was 7 years ago. So I don't know if that's recent. This is back when... only like Napster and downloading and everything just was starting. So people were still buying albums right. like crazy. Unless you wanted to sit by the radio and wait for that moment to hit record on your tape player, tape a song to the cassette. That was how you were going to get your songs.
Okay. Some other popular albums from 1999. Britney Spears' first album. Baby
Ooh,
One More
I bet
Time.
That was top five.
Mm-hmm. Garth Brooks' Double
Oh,
Live.
I'm sure.
Which, you know. People love their Garth Brooks. Christina Aguilera's self-titled debut.
Oh, that's a big year for music.
All the iconic pop.
Fly, the Dixie Chicks album, which I loved.
Ooh, this is a very big year for pop music.
Faith Hill's fourth album, which had that song Breathe, which was really popular. Santana's
Oh, that was huge.
A lot of albums. A lot of big albums.
But Millennium was...
TLC fan mail.
But apparently Millennium beat them all. That was the number one.
Ricky Martin's debut album.
Millennium was also the TRL. It was like height of TRL, height of boy band mania, like them and NSYNC. Mm-hmm. It was the girls screaming so much, the guys had to be like, guys, you have to stop screaming or we can't hear Carson. Like, we want to hear him speak. We got 2 hours. We're here for 2 hours.
The girls need something to scream their puberty
exactly.
out to.
And just like all the merch the girls had on and painting their faces and the posters. It was just, and of course they were like also across the street in Times Square. That's how many people were there.
Right.
Insane.
Wow. What a time. What a time.
Oh my God. It was amazing.
I feel so like fortunate to have grown up in the
time. Me too. It was fun to die. So next was their album Black and Blue, and it was released in November 21st.
Oh, that had The Call, right? That might be my favorite.
I love The Call too.
Listen, baby, I'm sorry. Just want to tell you, don't worry.
I didn't know this. They did. Okay, this is the huge publicity stunt that they had done. They traveled around the world in 100 hours, visiting Stockholm, Tokyo, Sydney, Cape Town, Rio de Janeiro, New York City. 55 of the hours were spent traveling and 45 were spent making public appearances.
Oh, that sounds rough.
Those poor boys. Like, that's just like, mean to do to those guys, I feel like. Hold on, I'm about to get to the end of this, like, because this actually leads us off to like a good spot to talk about like Nick Carter. So Black and Blue, it recorded the best international sales in a week for an album in history by selling over 5 million copies in the first week of sales. It sold 1.6 million discs in the United States, making them the first artist since the Beatles to achieve back-to-back million plus first week sales.
See, another Beatles connection.
Wow. There you go. Now, this is where there starts to be a break with the guys. In 2002, the group expressed a strong desire to leave their management company. However, Nick Carter chose to remain with them to manage his solo career. And after that, the rest of the group began recording their next album without him. And the relationship with Jive Records got even worse when Backstreet Boys filed a $75 to $100 million lawsuit against Jive's parent company, Zomba Music, claiming breach of contract, and they claimed that the label promoted Carter's solo album, Now or Never, at the expense of the group. So Nick kind of, like, inadvertently, maybe, like, broke up the group.
I remember not a single thing about his solo album. Did it have, like, a single?
If you recall, the solo albums never did well, besides JT. Because J.C. Chazay
had a single that
I'm pretty sure they all did solo albums. Remember when AJ had his alter ego that was British?
What?
It was Johnny No Name. You guys don't remember Johnny No Name?
No.
No.
That's a deep cut Backstreet Boys trivia, people.
That is hilarious.
It was a British alter ego. It was like the height of it. And that's when he was trying to go like avant-garde.
I love a musician with an alter ego.
How embarrassing.
Oh my God. I hope I find something on YouTube about it so I can put it on like the Instagram or something. But this also,
please. Yeah.
AJ then, when what kind of brought the group back together was a couple years later, AJ McLean was on Oprah talking about his addiction issues, and the whole group came on the episode, and they said that kind of got them talking again and moving past like whatever old issues that they had, and that's when they started recording again.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Sweet.
Oh, so here's about his solo album. So in 2002, he released the first single from his solo album, Help Me. And
it was ringing zero bells for me.
So his solo album was released in October 2002. It sold 500,000 copies in the first week. That's not bad. And reached number 17 on Billboard. But I don't know if everyone.
But then how did it do after that? Because remember, like, I know my brother had an album that got to number, like, 17 or something like that. It was, like, in the top 20 on the Billboard charts. And then the next week, it, like, wasn't on the charts at all. And he was explaining that, like, you know, that's just, like, the way it goes sometimes. Like, you have, like a niche album that's, like, highly anticipated. Like, they were, like, really popular in the pop punk world. So, like, everyone ran out and bought it, but that was, like, pretty much everyone who was going
to
buy
that's
it.
That's so funny you say that, Jessica, because this also got to 17. Yeah.
Nick Carter.
So he did a worldwide tour in support, but he then went to do smaller venues like clubs, and then he did a second album, but then that got put on hold when Backstreet Boys came back. Yeah.
When Backstreet came back.
For the second time.
All right.
Oh, and then Jessica and I had to, couldn't wait for the pod. I had to tell Jessica. In January 2014, Carter recorded a duet album with Jordan Knight from fellow boy band New Kids on the Block.
Jordan Knight was my favorite.
It was called
New
Nick
Kids
and
on
Knight.
Block too.
I love that.
I can't believe we never knew about this and did not go see it when it was on tour.
You know, they probably of came course. To like Atlantic City too. Make something so easy for us to go.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Aaron Carter was born December 7th, 1987. I was born December 8th. So, we're both Sagittariuses. I understand
you're both Gemini vegetarians.
I understand this man so much better than I thought I did. Not really, actually. So, that was good.
Huh, he's closer to our age.
Yeah,
because
I meant to look up what year Nick was born, actually, and I forgot to look that up. I'm assuming, I think it was like 1982, maybe, or no, maybe 81.
Okay, so he's like not 40 so. Yet.
Hold on. Okay. So at this point, the Carter family had already moved to Tampa when Aaron and his twin sister, Angel, was born. And they had moved.
Nick Carter was born in 1980, January 28th, 1980.
So Nick Carter, so Aaron Carter started, obviously when Nick started performing, Aaron started moving into the same field, and he made his first solo appearance singing a cover of The Jets' Crush on You when opening for the Backstreet Boys in Berlin.
I remember. Aww. I had his album. I remember that song. He was so cute. He has
so
little
this was,
voice.
He was like 10 years old. Actually, less than that. He would have been 9 because it wasn't his birthday yet. The performance was followed by a record contract in the fall of 1997. He released his first single, Crush on You, and he released his first solo album December 1st of that year, which was must have been a really good birthday present for him, his first full album. And I didn't know this in 2001.
Well, he did that cover of I Want Candy. Was
oh, okay. So he released his self-titled debut album at 9, and it sold 1 million copies worldwide. His next album was released in 2000, and that was Aaron's Party, Come and Get It.
Yes. I was about to be like, don't forget parentheses, Come Get It.
The classic. Where were we when we saw that in like
it
a
It was your
in
rehearsal
years?
Dinner party at the bowling alley.
Yes, that's right. So when I got married, I what it did, because when you just said it like that, it sounded weird. When I got married, I had like a formal, like, you know, like nice wedding. And like after planning my wedding, I just couldn't see planning a formal rehearsal dinner as well. Like it was just like one more thing. And I was like, I really just want everyone to like hang out and have fun. So my husband and I threw a bowling party after a rehearsal. And it was really fun. And everyone bowled and we had like a buffet of like bar food and pitchers of beer. And it was really fun. And
claw machine.
In the claw machine at the bowling alley, we saw the Aaron's party.
Please? Yeah. Did you play for it? Did you try and get it?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we did. But we didn't get it.
It was very coveted.
It would have been.
Riley, what are your memories of this? You, right.
So for me,
what's your memories of Aaron Carter in this era, Riley?
I wasn't going to get Nick because I was like, I'm like 7 years old and he's a man. But Aaron is kind of cute. Like,
but Aaron
cute, and he's more accessible to me. So I'm going to lower my standards. So Aaron was like, yeah, I liked the music because I was in love with Nick. I thought he was so cute. He was probably one of my first ever celebrity crushes, or crushes in general, I would say, even probably. And so then it was like, well, Aaron's younger. He's like closer to my age. Feasibly, I could probably get with him. So I guess I'll be interested in him. And his music was like fun. I was very into like I Want Candy and like Aaron's Party, and That's How I Beat Shaq, like all the singles that came out, like just classic pop,
all
music.
The classics.
I wonder who I was thinking about this, so I was like, did my parents buy me these like Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys CDs? Did I ask for them? Like, who introduced me to pop music?
You must have. Who wouldn't want to ask for these
you
things?
Must have.
Yeah, I was just so young. I don't have any memory of being, because I remember the first album that I ever bought myself with my own money was Hilary Duff's Metamorphosis.
Jeff, did you remember what yours was? Yes.
My first album that I bought by myself with my own money.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe, No Doubt.
That's
Tragic
like
Kingdom.
Better than Metamorphosis.
No.
Yeah, maybe. But I had a lot of albums. My dad, like, Sean, I'm from like a... My parents are like big music fans. They get like really into the music they listen to. So I went to a lot of concerts, and my dad would like take us for like, just to like get out of the house. He would take me and my brother to Tower Records back when that was a thing. And we would just like walk around and look at albums, and then we would each get to like pick a CD and he would buy it for us.
So mine kind of, it certainly ages me, but I bought mine first very young because I was also bought at Tower Records. I was dog sitting for like my neighbor's dog, or I was doing something where I was just like feeding an animal like every day and like doing nothing else. And so he gave me $10. And so that was enough for me to go buy the Bodyguard soundtrack on cassette.
Oh, there you go.
I remember it was $11. So I had just enough because I had some extra cash. But I think I was like 8, maybe. I was like 7 or 8. And I remember listening to it on my Walkman before school. Okay. And so was Aaron, like, I didn't have Disney Channel at this time, but I would imagine a lot of like Aaron Carter must have been on Disney, because I know he was on Lizzie McGuire.
Yes.
Yes. I actually Justin,
what was the premise? Oh my God. I loved Whitney Houston. That's why my sisters would always like make fun of me, be like, of all the things you bought the Bodyguard soundtrack. I was like, I love Whitney Houston. Queen of the Night. Yes. I want to run to you. Yes, please.
Okay, so they're obsessed with Aaron Carter. And Aaron Carter, right, like anyone. And Aaron Carter is coming to their town to, like,
Lucky
film
girls.
His new music video. So Lizzie and Miranda decide that they're going to, like, sneak onto the set. And Gordo wants to come because he wants to, like, make a documentary about it or something, maybe. And like, so they like are like sneaking around trying to get onto the set, but meanwhile, like, Lizzie's dad, I forget what his job is, but somehow he like has a legitimate reason to be on the set, and he like can get them passes, but they like don't know this because they're busy like sneaking around. And then like there's a thing where like her little brother Matt shows up and he gets to be like Aaron Carter's stand-in. He gets like mistaken for Aaron Carter's stand-in. So that's like a whole subplot. But then like, so also Miranda's thing is that she really wants to sing for Aaron Carter because she wants to be a singer. So the way it all pans out is that Miranda sings for Aaron Carter. Or no, so they, okay. So they get caught like sneaking around the set. Hold on, that's like all coming back to me. And Aaron's like manager or whoever says that like only one of them can go in and meet him.
Because she's such
and Lizzie lets Miranda go. because she's like, you should go, like, you're so talented, and like, Aaron should hear you. So Miranda goes in and she comes out and she's like, he said that I have talent. Aaron Carter said that I have talent. And then I forget exactly what like the chain of events was, but they were filming, it was like a Christmas video, and Aaron, or if I remember correctly, ends up like under mistletoe with Aaron, and she gets to like kiss him. And then they all—
can this be the moment where we dive into the Lindsay Lohan, Hillary Duff feud? That—
yes.
So as you may or may not know, guys, there is an epic feud that Aaron Carter helped spurn about. It all started from this episode where he guested on Lizzie McGuire, and the two of them started dating for a really long time, a year and a half. Do you know they dated that long? Aaron, like, just flat out said, like, yeah, I had the cutest girlfriend in the entire world who was pretty, had her own TV show, had her life together.
Imagine a world where Hillary Duff but and could, Aaron
do we
Carter
know of two she more opposite teen stars than like a Hillary Duff and a Lindsay Lohan?
And they are such like the polar opposites of like how a child star could go. Like, I feel like Hillary Duff turned out like pretty well adjusted. She's like doing well with like her kids and her husband. Ooh. And like her life.
Yeah. And at the time, they're like 13, 14 years old when they start dating. So this is terrible. Mm-hmm. But after a couple years, as Aaron himself says, I was dating Hillary for like a year and a half. And then I just got a little bored. So I went and started getting to know Lindsay.
Yeah. At this point, though, was Lindsay really getting into like her crazy wild times yet, though?
I was gonna say, you know what? He probably had sex, and Hillary Duff would have sex with him.
So in April 2003, the I Want Candy singer got back together with Hillary and showed up to her big Lizzie McGuire movie premiere. But then a few months later, they called it quits when he cheated on her with another person, not Lindsay.
Oh, quick sidebar. The Lizzie McGuire movie was also the first movie that I saw in theaters without my parents.
Ooh, so adult.
We did an epic 3-hour long episode about now. That movie.
If you feel like revisiting it.
Titanic. So. Titanic. Yeah, she was a good sport. Bless. She talked to us for 3 hours about the Lizzie McGuire
movie. Now's the perfect time to go back and watch the Lizzie McGuire movie, too.
Oh, for sure.
Just like dreaming of times when like you could travel and Italy was open and beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I talked all about going abroad and like, yeah, traveling abroad trip. Oh God, those were the days.
Oh. We did it with Margie Mays, who is currently on American Idol.
I know, we have to have her come back and talk about something else. Yeah. Jeez. Now we're all just sitting at home in our leggings and sweatshirts. This was so funny. So I'm reading this timeline from Pop Sugar. And they said the girls had a silent red carpet war and they kept popping up at each other's movie premieres. I love that as a passive aggressive starlet move.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so dramatic.
Show up at your premiere.
This was the time when I was like so into J14 magazine. Like that was my thing. Because whenever I would go to the grocery store with my dad, we always got one special treat. And so that could be, you know, like whatever. I always chose a J14 magazine. And I remember like the Lindsay and the Hillary back and forth. Like so-and-so said this at this premiere. Just like following the story.
Yeah, because Hillary went to the Freaky Friday red carpet, and then Lindsay retaliated by showing up at the Cheaper by the Dozen premiere.
I love how this is, like, shade when it's like, thank you for making my movie more popular.
I know. I guess the idea is, like, to take, like, attention away. Like, this other starlet is here.
Yeah.
So in 2004, this is another really good one. Apparently, when Hillary was filming A Cinderella Story, Lindsay called Chad Michael Murray, who was in Freaky Friday with her, to talk trash. Do you think Chad Michael Murray like divulged her and like also talked trash? Or do you think he was like a gentleman about it?
Whatever happened to him? I was like trying to base my opinion off of him now.
I don't know much about him.
Who is he? Like, he just fell off the face.
I think he was One Tree Hill, right? Chad Michael Murray?
Yeah, he was on One Tree Hill. I feel like when Channing Tatum got really popular, he like absorbed Chad Michael Murray's energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't heard of Chad Michael Murray since Channing Tatum started to get popular.
Yeah, I'm looking at like what he's up to now, and it looks like not much. Oh, You know, where he apparently is.
Oh,
Riverdale.
Oh, that's who.
Where all the 90s and 2000s teen idols go.
I don't want to give too much away. He actually was in, he's mainly in last season, and he was in a little bit of this season, but more like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, keep it vague, because Riverdale's on one of my, like, quarantine watch lists. I'm only on season two.
Okay, good. So we'll get to talk about him, because we want to do an episode about all of the...
Because I think that's a genius idea for, like, a teen show to do that, is to, like, hire former teen actors to play all the parents.
That is pretty clever.
It's literally, and it made me wonder, I'm like, wait, when,
on our shows, like Dawson's, were, like, those parents, like, former teen, like, teen star, like... okay, so the feud continues. On TRL, and I love this, Lindsay was put on the spot when she was asked to confess something about herself. She went, "I love you, Hillary Duff." I imagined her saying it straight into the camera and looking right in the camera. "I love you, Hillary Duff." Oh,
I
watched
the first season and it was really
bad. I've been super into it.
I had to lean into it. But then after I took that break before season two came on Netflix, I just couldn't go back to it. Lindsay loves to do a weird passive-aggressive compliment. Doesn't she? Like, "I love you, Hillary Duff." That "I would never say that about Paris. Paris is my friend."
Oh, and I guarantee you, the like next day she's like, "What? I love Hillary Duff. What?"
Yeah. Lindsay would be like, "I hate that girl."
So Lindsay poked fun at Hillary during her Saturday Night Live monologues when Rachel Dratch dressed as an over-the-top version of the singer. And there's like a little gif of like Rachel Dratch, and she's like wearing all pink, and she has like a pink beret and like a pink sweater with like a pink flower.
Hillary did love a beret, though.
She did. Or did Lizzie love a beret?
Lizzie had quite the style.
I love
Lizzie. Well, then the next gif is of Hillary, and she goes, "I don't think it's an honor to be made fun of on Saturday Night Live." Hillary was not impressed by Lindsay's SNL stunt. "I'm not here to talk about her. Like, she talks bad about me all the time," she told Access Hollywood when filming "Our Lips Are Sealed" music video.
She's a good girl.
Which I did. I was like, that was very classy. Good job. Oh, but then at the Cinderella Story premiere, she banned Lindsay Lohan from attending.
Ooh, does she have the power to do that?
She's the star.
I mean, I guess. Feels like there's like an event planner out there who probably has the power of the guest list.
It seems like the height of this.
She must be so smug now.
It seems like the majority of this was in 2004, and they were like literally like 17 years old when they were doing all this, because they're all around the same age. I was curious if one was like way older than the other, but like Aaron Carter, Lindsay, they're all like within the same year. So Hillary again publicly said, "Sometimes I really hate Lindsay Lohan," to Blender magazine. Oh, I died laughing at this. So she started dating Joel Madden at the end of December 2004.
Yes, okay. And he was like a grown-ass man. He was like in his 20s, and she was 16.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
So he refused to give Lindsay's 8-year-old brother, Cody, an autograph at a Good Charlotte concert until he publicly apologized to Hillary.
And he's a grown man.
Oh.
What a douche.
Yeah, that's rough. He's the one who's married to Cameron Diaz now, right?
You know what? I'm not sure which one's Nicole Richie and which one's...
Come on.
That's...
Oh, I truly do not know the difference between the two.
So the next year, Lindsay claims she called Hillary to put the feud to rest, but her sister Haley answered the phone and hung up on her.
Haley, throwing a wrench in the plans.
In the picture on this slide, it's Lohan. It's her holding up a bejeweled sidekick.
loved a bejeweled sidekick. I wanted
to I had that. A sidekick.
I had a
sidekicks
knockoff sidekick.
Sidekicks were the, like, literally the phone to have in, like, 2005 if you were a Hollywood starlet. And it had to be bejeweled. No, it was not. I wasn't a starlet.
Was yours bejeweled?
I feel like... phones used to have such like personality, and you could tell so much about your favorite celebrity from the phone that they had, and now everyone just has an iPhone.
Yeah. Now, this actually ended up having a happy ending because so Hillary ended up telling people a few years later, "We're both adults, and whatever happened happened when we were young. It's over." And Lindsay was at the release party for one of Hillary's albums, Dignity. And she said, "She's really fun. We were hanging out the other night. She's a really nice girl."
See, she's so such a sweet girl.
So I was really happy that actually had like a nice ending.
Well, nice if you stop right there.
Or if we stop right there. Well, hopefully think about Hillary Duff. Well, everything happened nice for Hillary Duff. Lindsay is another story. Oh, back to Aaron Carter.
So he's a teen pop star.
In 2001, he went on Broadway in Susical the Musical.
Oh, that's cute.
That's right. I forgot that I knew that about him.
And Carter, Nick Carter's parents also filed a lawsuit against Lou Pearlman in 2002.
Was that the same year that he was on Broadway?
The year after.
I was just about to say, because what if he had just stayed a Broadway actor and we just had Aaron Carter, the happy, well-adjusted, living in New York, getting regular therapy, like Broadway actor.
I like that alternative timeline for him.
Like, I feel like if I see it into existence, like it does exist in a parallel universe, and I just want that.
Aww.
Yeah.
Let that marinate for a second. A happier time for Aaron.
I'm trying to think of like what other shows he would have been idea. In over the years.
He could have been in Hairspray as Link.
He could have been in Hairspray. He could have played like all those roles that Aaron, I always say his last name wrong, like I always get it wrong, but he's really cute. He was in like Next to Normal and Catch Me If You Can.
Oh no.
He's in Moulin Rouge right now. And actually he has coronavirus. He tested positive for coronavirus. But he's in Moulin Rouge on Broadway right now, and he's really cute. I feel like they could have played like some.
That was interesting. I remembered in the Boy Band Con documentary, Aaron made like a comment about how like Nick was like never around. Like he said, like once Nick got into the Backstreet Boys, he's like, I didn't see him like ever. But I remember at the time, like even Nick was like a teenager, like young teenager. And we remember thinking that was weird, being like, wait, you never saw him? Like, and obviously there wasn't like a parent like staying with each kid. Like,
should we get to, for sure. I feel like this is like a good time to get into their relationship. So I was watching an interview with Aaron Carter today, and he said something that made me so sad. So he was talking about how when Aaron was arrested in 2017, Nick reached out to him via Twitter. You guys remember that? Nick like basically tweeted and was like, I'm here for you if you need anything. I always love you, blah, blah, blah. And Aaron like publicly called him out and was basically like, you know, if he really cared about me, he would reach out to me privately. He wouldn't do it in this like public forum and make all about him, which is fair, like 100% correct. And he's right. And Aaron was like in this other interview saying like, you know, he doesn't really know me. Like we only see each other once or twice a year. And, you know, I love him. I'll always love him. He's my brother, but like, we don't really have a relationship. And then he goes, I think he loves me, but I think he loves me conditionally.
But Aaron, from what I watched of House of Carters though, Aaron is also very much like the victim. Like everyone's always against Aaron. Everyone's always giving him a hard time. Everyone's always doing this to him. He's definitely one of those people.
He been diagnosed. I thought he was diagnosed with like either bipolar disorder or personality disorder, I think.
I know he was on The Doctors last year and he was like on various medications and he was definitely thinking he was one of those things. I don't know if they ever came to a diagnosis for him. I don't want to like assume someone's mental health.
Yeah. You know. I mean, just like based on knowing he definitely has trauma just based on his family life, his parents, the divorce and everything, that being in show business, like whatever it is, even if it's the most innocent possible version of show business, I feel like still like messes you up being a child exposed to that.
Oh, for sure.
So he probably has some complex PTSD, if not any other underlying like personality or mood disorders that he was just inherently born with.
Right. It's so sad when you're watching him on the show too, because he is such like a kid. He's like 18 years old.
Yeah,
he's your last one was 18. You're 18.
It reminds me of like when Justin Bieber was like that age.
Yes, that's a good correlation.
It's like the same thing where it's like you grow up as a child in show business. You're exposed to all of this trauma. And then you like when you get to this certain age, you just start really like acting out and lashing out in these really like violent ways and like these like ways of abusing.
Doesn't
substances.
Help that you were spoiled too, and everyone catering to you, and you're seeing
right. And they didn't have like it seems like the child stars who turn out like okay. I mean, obviously, it's common sense. They have like a stable home life. Like they have parents who treat them like their children and not like their paycheck. see, you know, and they say, like, they say, I remember, like I said, I only watched like half of the first episode of House of Carter because it was too much for me. But there were like multiple references to their parents' divorce and how like traumatic it was for all of them.
It gets to the point where the mother is almost like an unseen character on the show because they mention her so much and talk about her so much. Yes, yes.
She wrote one of them. Mom wrote like tell all books about each of them.
Oh, yeah, she wrote a book about each of them. I don't know. This could have been more about, I think what she wrote at the height of their popularity when she was still involved, I think she wrote books about them. Wow. And then I think after the fallout, she wrote another book.
Who has that much time?
Just like- so there's this whole, there's a whole episode where they're all fighting because the mother is saying she's sick. And so it's kind of underlying, you think they're hinting basically at like maybe a drug issue or like alcohol issue maybe, because they're saying she's sick and well, she should go to the hospital. And everyone's mad at Nick because Nick doesn't want to pay for the hospital bill.
She needs money.
Right. And she needs money. And he's like, well, I'm not going to, like, you don't understand what she's done to me. Mm-hmm. And both of the boys believe she's stolen money from them in the past, too. And so eventually he does give her the money. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy, though, because the whole family's up in a flurry. And there's multiple times that they say, well, she does this all the time, guys. This always happens. It's a cycle, basically. And they're like, but what if this is the one time? What if this is the one time? And so he gives in and he's like, no, mom, I love you, gives the money. Yeah. And then it's like the next scene. Oh, dad saw mom. She never went. She had new hair extension. Her nails were done. Nick said, mom hasn't called me ever since I've given her the money. I've reached out to her multiple times. She won't even respond to me. And you said you were dying or you're so sick. And now you won't even talk to me because you got your money.
A lot about giving his family money, and he says like multiple times how like they always come to him for money, but how like he really feels like looking back and how like he gave it to them, and, but looking back he feels like he was just like
Riley, you would probably agree, doesn't it, from the state of like how his whole family was, it seemed like it kind of was enabling.
Absolutely, because they were so, they like, Nick has millions of dollars, so he should be like the one paying for all of this stuff and all of, and I'm just like, I mean, I get it, but also at the same time, Nick was exploited. Does he really have millions of dollars?
Imagine a situation like, I mean, it's obviously not like millions of dollars, but like, if I just can't imagine my brother, like I have one sibling, I can't imagine, my brother was in a band, if he had made like millions of dollars with his band, I can't imagine a situation
you just like assume in which
I think from a young entitled to his money.
Probably just what they're used to, because that's also probably what they saw their parents doing, being like, okay, well, Nick, you should pay for this. This is for the family. Nick, like, go into your private money.
Mm-hmm. I think, right. Like, it would have to be a situation.
But
like,
think about it, from a young age.
Dying. Like, it would have to be, like, you know.
The boys were like family business, because the mom was the manager, so the mom was making money from managing them. And also, just all the perks just came from your little brother or, like, your teenage brother's, like, living, like, they're the father, though. Did you watch the episode, Riley, when the dad came to visit?
No, if that was, I think I only saw, like, episodes 1-4.
Okay, mine, like, my YouTube started skipping around, so I saw the episode where the dad came to visit, and they all, like, loved the father. They all were happy to see him. Nobody was, like, seemed to be estranged from him. And if anything, one of the daughters was upset because she felt like he should be helping out their mother more, because since they live in the same area, I'm assuming they still lived in Florida, maybe. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I did enough. Like, I did, like, you know, to always getting handouts, even from like being kids, mm-hmm. like being like, yeah. I saw that the father died and I meant to look into
undisclosed
it.
Disclosed circumstances.
Ooh.
It was just a couple years ago, too.
They've never said how he died.
Or something?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I think that's a whole family filled with mm-hmm. addiction issues, okay. Sadly.
Mm-hmm. Secrets, yeah. So, yeah, I know that's, like, not really what we're here right. to talk about, but that, like, had a big...
So- In the show,
a big impact on
Leslie is kind of poised. She was the one, Riley, where they were saying she had a lot of talent. I have the three girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The episode I watched, that's what Nick said. That, like,
and I watched
and
a 2020 interview with, it was just with the boys and the parents, but it was after the whole fallout. And Leslie was in it. And Leslie was the last child that was still talking to the mother and still living with her. and all the other children were estranged from her.
This was prior to House of Carters, because she had said that, right, in the show, was that she was like, I was the only one who was still with mom.
Right. And you could tell she was still really close to the mother. I think she was like the only one super close.
Yeah.
Told this really crazy story in the 2020 interview, because they were saying how like everybody was living with the father and the mother wasn't, and they kind of like didn't want to see the mom. They didn't really get into a lot of the you could tell there was a lot darker stuff there, but the main thing they kept saying was like, she treated us like employees, like she wasn't like a mom to us, and we think she took her money. But you could tell they were actually kind of like scared of their mom too, like what she could do. And so they tell this story, and it's like one side, they keep cutting from like Aaron and cutting to the mom, and they're telling completely different stories. So the mother's like, well, all the kids were living with my ex-husband, and he was making it seem like he wanted to get back together. He said he wanted to get back together. So I thought, well, I'm going to go over there and surprise them. They'll be so happy to see me. And so I came and I went to the backyard and I said, Mommy's home. I'm back. I'm back. And like, meanwhile, Aaron's like, my mom comes out of nowhere. She's like out of the fucking bushes. And she's like, where's your father? Where's your father?
Like, God.
Father. She runs into the house. The father at this point had already been dating someone new, but she literally acted as if they were still madly in love, and she just walked in on her husband cheating on her with some woman. So she was like basically like screaming at the woman, throwing things, and meanwhile she's like telling the story like, oh, well, I was just like, well, what are we gonna do about this? Like, I don't want this woman in my house. Like, completely, like, obviously the truth is somewhere in the middle, probably more so what they're all saying and not what she's saying. But you could see right then and there, there's some weird manipulation with the mother's side, like telling this completely different story when she had, I think, ended up getting arrested. I think that was it too. She was telling the story of this day and how it was completely misconstrued, and it was really the husband gaslighting her. What really happened?
She's still alive, right? Do you guys want to hear about Nick's book? I listened to part of the audiobook. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I feel like I got the gist of what was going on with the first couple of chapters. I did not realize.
Please tell me the advice.
This is going to be a self-help book.
I need a life coach.
And not a memoir. Are you guys ready? Guys, do you have paper and pencil? Because Nick tells us in the book that we should be writing down what we've learned.
There's a study guide.
So we can review our notes as needed.
Can we do a reading circle?
All right, let me just get a fresh notebook and pen. Hold on.
Are we ready? Okay, so. It's sad. He dedicates the book to Leslie because he says he wants to help others because he couldn't help her in time, which is sad. But he also like says at one point that like he says that he gave her, you know, money and he was really just enabling her. But he says that like he could give her something different, the best thing.
But I mean, that's come through a lot in House of Carters. And I think it's genuine because like, Riley, I was really trying to figure out like, is this scripted or is it not? Like, are they setting these fights up or are they not? What did you think?
Honestly, watching it, I thought that it was not scripted because there was just so much that they were leaving out that, you know, that the family was talking about like at night when the cameramen were gone. And then they
right, because that was my instinct too, because that's what like I was like, is that how good it is? Is that it seems scripted? Is that how good this is? Because they all so much, but you could tell they come from a family where their parents yell at each other all the time. All they did was yell at each other.
They're just incredibly dysfunctional. And I think that they don't know how to have like arguments, conversations, like discussions as a family, like in a healthy way. They really don't know how to express their emotions healthily. Like they don't, they're just all stunted. I mean, Nick even says like, I mean, it sounds horrible, but he's like, I think what he was talking about Leslie, where he's like, well, she's the most broken.
They all came across very damaged and very like unprepared to be out in the real world by themselves.
And Nick was like, I felt like he was just like scrambling. Like he obviously wasn't, you know, he was damaged as well, but he's like, but I'm, he had this very like sense of I'm the man of the house. Like I'm the big brother.
To be fair, Yeah, he has the money, and also he's been holding down a job. Mm-hmm. Like, there was never, like, a thing about him losing jobs or being unreliable.
Mm-hmm. As it were. That's fair. Yeah. Bend in the book. So I feel like he thinks he, like, has come through a lot, but, like, he's still single, which I guess he has. Please, he doesn't have any real, like, genuine insight. Like, at one point, when I wrote that it's just full of Pinterest quotes, at one point he says, we're not all here to suffer and struggle. We're all here to make a difference. Like, okay, Nick Carter. In the beginning, he talks about, like, how therapy helped him, which is great. And he says, like, you know, I know you might be thinking, like, therapy is just for, like, rich guys, but really, like, therapy is beneficial.
I remember
for
you
and
telling
starts,
me this.
Like, breaking down payment options for therapy.
Like, while that's very strange.
I was like, Nick, spill the tea.
I wonder if there are, like,
spill
a,
the tea.
A
we will
of
figure out
who, like,
how to
you know,
finance
that's
our own therapy.
Helpful for because they've maybe been interested in therapy, but they've been, you know, overwhelmed by the process.
They're not taking everything he says.
Ooh,
too much.
Is he a Scientologist?
He doesn't exactly. believe in turns people into drug addicts.
Yeah.
He's not a freaking doctor, and he shouldn't That's be allowed to quite. Publish a book where he says things like that. Jem, he tells us that we tend to sit on our butts. As in, but what if?
Wow.
And he tells us that in order to
be
successful, we need to keep our
for
butts.
That knowledge.
You guys. Here's, like, the basic meat of the book, and this is why I felt like I didn't need to listen to the whole thing. He tells us in the beginning that the book will cover 10 basic concepts, and then he runs down the concepts, and there's really no further detail that you need to hear about any of them. Are you ready for Nick Carter's 10 basic concepts
yes, I have
for, like,
no
a
pad.
Mentally healthy life?
Yeah.
There will be a quiz on the material.
Are you ready to take notes? You good? Because you might want to review this later. Okay.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number one, decide that you deserve the best.
Okay.
Right, really. Number two, let go of your past.
So what are Nick's
number three,
strengths?
Go with your strengths. Number four,
go over past.
Deal oh my god, that's demons. A good point.
I let go of my past like three concepts ago. What am I supposed to do?
Fair. You need to develop a plan and act upon it.
This is like stuff that you've heard like a million times before.
Focus on controlling what you can and letting go of what you can't.
Quarantine advice that I just read.
It's just like
reworded. You read it on Pinterest. Take care of your mind, body, and spirit. And embrace them.
I mean, that's,
and finally,
that, yeah,
practice
it's fine.
Forgiveness
it's
and
advice.
Gratitude. All right, Nick.
Yeah, which every self-help book
says,
essentially.
That's what Nick Carter has to offer us in his self-help book.
He's
yeah,
definitely
basically, it's like he read
must
one and paraphrased
feel like he has that.
It.
That's like one of his purposes in life is to like lead others and to like help encourage others.
Like right. holding on to, if that's what's keeping him. Like, as far as we know, he's sober now, right? He just had a baby. His wife just had a baby. So I hope that he's like doing okay. Did you guys know that he has cardiomyopathy as a result of his cocaine use?
Juicy bit.
So what is that exactly?
Yeah, that was like the one like good like tidbit from the book that was like interesting. I googled it and it makes it like harder for his heart to pump blood.
Ooh,
so people who have that often will experience like heart failure, like kind of young.
I can't believe he wrote a self-help book. That is so funny.
I like think about him when I say that he's like kind of a douchebag. Like I just imagine being Nick Carter and thinking that,
I know.
Like,
I mean,
you have all this wisdom
well,
that you need to impart to the world.
That
you need to like write a book about it.
Like if it was
with
just
your
a
10
memoir,
basic concepts.
A really interesting memoir, but like why?
Like at least Darren
why
knows
a self-help
place.
Book. Ugh.
Yes. That's
lame.
What I was hoping for.
Exactly. That's very lame. He was really concerned about getting all of his siblings like on a path and like on a direction. And you would actually see him like go around and be like, Leslie, like how are you doing? Like, are you doing like basically any of your goals? Like, how are you working towards your goals today? Like, you really would sometimes walk around and talk to them like that when they weren't screaming at each other.
A link to an SNL sketch
where Jason Sudeikis.
It was Andy Samberg and who was that? Was that Chris Parnell that played Nick?
Oh, I'm gonna have to look.
Wait, let me see if I can get like Nick, the audio did, of like, it because it's so freaking funny.
Hold on. Yeah.
I remember when this was
it was
on.
So good.
And they really did spoof it so wonderfully.
E has done it again with their new reality show. Peek into the lives of America's hottest pop star family with House of Carters. This week, things get ugly when Aaron is late and Nick gets angry.
Aaron, come on, we're gonna be late for the meeting. Get off my back. I have to be on your back.
Why are you always trying?
It's the only way you listen to me.
Get off me. I used to rap when I was little. Just
you have to get your life together. I know.
I used to harp me. I have weird hair and bad skin.
Bro, I'm sorry, dude. Dude, that's my bad. That's my bad.
I gotta be hard on you, man. You're like a little me.
I don't even know why I got to do.
Why are you hugging me so hard?
Why do you hate me?
I don't hate you.
And why won't you listen to my beats?
That's, you know, Riley, I highly suggest you Google it. And
I'm
watch
gonna
there.
Have to watch because that's it's basically perfect.
Oh, it's so perfect. After watching a couple hours of the show, I was like, oh my god, this was so spot on.
But what I was also going to say, does anyone else think BJ kind of looks like Ashley Simpson
on your podcast,
House of Carters?
Yeah.
No, I haven't talked about it. And honestly, like watching it, I don't know how I could now because it literally makes no sense.
It's so good. At one point, I realized they really don't do a whole lot of like shtick, like where they set up scenes. The most they got was they got on like an RV and they went like on a somewhere. I forget.
In one of the like later episodes, then at the end, closer to the end of the season.
Yeah, closer to the end. But for the most part, it's literally them just like hanging out around the house.
I guess other than like Nick trying to find everyone something to do, like when he throws BJ into that kitchen or whatever, and she's right. Late that one time, and the guy's like, "Well, if you weren't Nick's sister, I'd fire you right now." But I have no.
Because Aaron was late. Aaron drove her to her job. I'm like, why would you rely on Aaron for anything?
Right.
It was to someone like narrating the scene or explaining whatever is happening, or
is
if there
that
was any
why
like.
I had such a hard time following it. Have I just been spoiled?
Well, did you also see? Is BJ is the one who had the boyfriend that they got into the huge fight?
So that was confusing too, because didn't like Nick call him over in the first episode because she was drunk and like crying or whatever, and then the second episode she was like, "I just fell out of love with him."
And then they started screaming at each other. Like, you could tell, like, the cameras must have been in, like, another section of the house. And then they just heard screaming and, like, went there. Because there was no context to why they were fighting so, like, so much.
Yeah, there was no context to, like, anything. They all had these discussions, like, off camera. And then they started fighting about it on camera. And that's what we watched.
And there was always, like, a lot of, like, the scenes were in that, like, in front of that one brown wall, especially between, like, Nick and Aaron.
Yeah.
Because it was actually seemed like kind of, like, a cool house. I was trying to figure out the layout.
Yeah, because there was, like, the kitchen and then that outside area that was, like, right off the kitchen.
And it seemed like, and, like, Aaron had, like, they all had, like, really big bedrooms. But I think, was there an upstairs or not? I don't think there was.
No. I think so, though. I it's hard to remember. It's like a weird.
Oh, there was upstairs because Aaron jumped from the balcony
into the pool.
Yeah, after Nick kept telling him no, don't do it.
Which that's where I had sympathy for Nick because
that was
like,
in the 6 minutes
as
I saw
anxiety like watching someone.
He's like, I'm gonna do it. I gotta do
like
it.
That spiked your heart rate.
Yeah,
I yelled at a child over the summer for doing front flips into 1 foot of water in a lake off of a tree stump, and I watched him do it. I watched him do it twice. His mom was like turned away, not watching, and then the third time that he did it, I got out of the.
That's not safe.
I got out of the water. I Baywatch ran across the beach and I yelled at him and I told him to stop and I told and he like just looked at me and then I said, I'm not watching you die today. And then his mom turned around and I walked away because I was afraid she was going to yell at me.
You're just trying to though protect him. You don't want to
stop. He did stop after that.
If I heard someone say, I don't want to see you die today to like my child, like, I'd be like, thank you. You obviously my kid was doing something stupid.
I'm not watching my kid and they're doing something dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things I remember. I didn't take a lot of notes about the show since we weren't like specifically recapping the show.
Jay was like always drunk. They brought that up a lot. I'm trying to
They were all drunk. Drama. I felt like they were all really like messed up. That whole show is kind of
When Aaron gets drunk and then Nick drags him to the grocery store and they get Panda Express and he like sits on the ground. That's pretty iconic.
Oh yeah. He can't like hold himself up. Nick's like, this is why you don't go drinking during the day.
Simpson show Ashley Simpson when before she dyed her hair brown.
Oh yeah, kind of. I get what you're saying.
It's like something in like the nose, I think.
I found the way this was edited so interesting. And one of it was because there were no talking heads, no diary room.
That's so true.
What's currently going on?
Yeah. So Nick's
He's still with like Backstreet Boys, still making music.
On Instagram. His wife, like I said, his wife's they have a baby. Vegas he seems like he's now, like home they? With the kid.
I think they, at least they did. Mm-hmm. So they could. Well, not right now, unfortunately.
I mean, no one has a Vegas residency right now, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I was just in Vegas in the fall. And I'm trying to remember if I saw, because I feel like we would have tried to go see them. Because we were thinking about seeing another show. And I feel like Backstreet Boys would have been very high on my list.
I feel like whenever one of like the former pop idols gets like a Vegas residency, I like breathe a sigh of relief because I'm like, they're going to be okay. Like. They have steady work, like they have, you know, they can settle down for a little bit.
Oh, one little funny tidbit I had read, but I could not find anything to actually confirm it. So I don't know if it's true, but remember when Kevin left the band? NSYNC had already stopped like being together. And allegedly there was like rumors that like Joey Fatone or maybe Lance Bass was going to join. Like, I don't think that's true. That's allegedly, that was some rumor that I had read.
The Backstreet Boys? Live
for like a Backstreet Boys NSYNC like super group right now though.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
Yeah, with no Justin Timberlake. No, thank you.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, Backstreet Boys have always kind of stayed together. If they had ever like stayed apart, then maybe that would have happened. Aaron Carter is a kind of diving into the world of like adult entertainment because he started
I saw.
And the content is bizarre, is Muse's review.
Oh, no.
And is currently, Angel and Nick Carter both have restraining orders against Aaron.
Oh.
The end of 2019, Nick got a temporary restraining order along with Angel, and TMZ had reported that Nick and his sister were forced to seek the order against Aaron. And Nick had said, in light of Aaron's increasingly alarming behavior, because at this time he was posting like a lot of stuff online. He's been posting a lot of stuff online. He's been getting face tattoos, stuff about his guns. So he said, in light of his increasingly alarming behavior and his recent confession that he harbors thoughts and intentions of killing my pregnant wife, an unborn child.
You know, in this quarantine, everyone is starting an OnlyFans account, so I support it.
Yeah, charging between $50 and $100 per nude photo, or $26 a month, you know, restraining order. And he said, we love our brother, and we truly hope that he gets the proper treatment he needs before any harm comes to himself or anyone else. Aaron said, I'm astounded at the accusations being made against me. I do not wish harm to anyone, especially my family. And this is when Aaron also went off on like a tweet storm. And he had said, so my brother just got a restraining order against me and it was just served. LOL. Take care at Nick Carter. We're done for life. I haven't seen him for 4 years and I don't intend to. You should send a cease and desist while you're at it too. Mm-hmm. And at the court hearing, they had made like a comment about like he shouldn't be owning guns. And apparently he like flipped out at the judge and was like, well, I just go to another state if you take my guns. And I do remember hearing this weird thing about like Nick Carter didn't want people or Aaron didn't want people taking his guns away. I was like, I think you're a prime candidate for someone who should have their guns taken away.
Yeah. It just reminds me of like a don't know, maybe was it 4 or 5 years ago now when Aaron was like talking about how Hillary Duff was the love of his life and how he missed her and how he wanted her back. And we were all like, oh, so sad, so dark. And things have just gotten so much worse since then for him.
He's obviously like, and that's what he, I read that, I remember when he came out, it was bisexual, but then apparently a couple years he took it back, but now he's back again, and now he like says once again, like, no, he's like, I'm attracted to men and women, but he's like, but he basically said, he's like, I would like to settle down and have like a family with a woman though, which was kind of sad, because I'm like, you could still settle down with a man and have a family. Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, I feel like he's probably lost sadness and confusion, and
yeah, poor Aaron. Yeah, he really needs like a solid good therapist
and a hug.
Yeah, it's just sad. Like Nick, I feel like is always going to be like damaged, but he seems to be like okay.
No, I think
like,
recently it was just like a couple days ago. He has a new girlfriend. Got her name tattooed above his eyebrow. And they're, you know, well, I will give him this. Even Aaron Carter knows to self-quarantine. So people running out and thinking it's still okay to go see people, go outside, go to the park, all that stuff. No, even Aaron Carter, with all this damage, still is smart enough to know to just stay inside. You put kids in the spotlight too young and you're not properly supervising them. Yeah. Whether it's like, I'm not saying like, who knows what happened to him, but like obviously if his mom was more concerned with like money and whatnot, she wasn't looking out for his best interests.
Mm-hmm. Just focus on alternate universe version of Aaron where he's happy, he's on stage on Broadway.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like guest starring on like, you know,
or he's a Broadway star. Maybe like he won something. A Tony.
I know. Watching House of Carters made me sad knowing this whole time that like they have restraining orders out against him, because it's just like you see the love there and they very much are all very sibling type relationships. But
I don't know that I could live with my like siblings as an adult and be chill and fine. Like, I don't know. I haven't lived with my brother since I was in high school, so.
He had said it was the first time they lived together in 10 years, all five siblings together. And think about it, Angel and Aaron were 18 at the time. So that means since they were 8, they hadn't lived with Nick.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I have Snapback
Riley,
Reality.
You wanna plug
it's
your
a
podcast?
Podcast all about just the reality TV of yesteryear, 90s, early 2000s, later 2000s. I try not to go too recent, but you know, sometimes we go there. Yeah, and so I just like recap reality shows. It's fun. I am on all major streaming platforms, so give me a listen. Snapback to Reality. You can find me on my personal Instagram @really_Riley if you want to follow me there too.
Do you have any advice for people who are quarantined? Like anything you suggest them to watch? Ooh, what's a good reality TV show that they should dive into and where can they can watch it?
Okay. So I will say that the episode that I just released this past week was on Gallery Girls, which is available on Amazon. It's only one season, so it's
isolated.
That's our episode title.
Oh my goodness.
Even Aaron Carter knows to self-quarantine.
Hey guys, it's Jess. This is the first episode that we recorded and edited in Anchor, and I accidentally cut off the ending where we signed off. So if you made it this far, from me, Siobhan, and Riley, thanks for listening, and we're outie.